explosion. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Redline.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but you're also
is this
not right.
The other Redline of Edgar Wright films?
Is this Edgar Light? Edgar Wright Redline. Edgar Wright.
Welcome
Redline.
Everybody and to That's About Right, our podcast about everything Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright's Redline is a really weird tongue twister.
Sure.
We're talking about the Redline of Edgar Wright films. Baby Driver. 2017's Baby Driver. We've made it to all of the Edgar Wright films, at least thus far.
Yes.
And yeah, this is going to be very very exciting.
I'm so happy to talk about this.
I am The Wash.
I am Random Bystander here.
And I hate Monsters, Inc.
Is that what he said?
That wasn't what he said.
Are you seriously expecting me to get the non-paraphrased quote after our initial recording got canceled?
Yeah. We were originally supposed to watch this, I think, a week ago.
A week ago, yeah.
And then our schedules, everything that we were supposed to do beforehand, basically just said no. No, you're not doing this tonight.
Yes, let's do our history with Baby Driver, 2017's Baby Driver.
Mine kind of ties in with yours a bit, Wash, so...
Does it?
A little bit.
Okay.
I'll explain.
I remember this was the other one I saw in theaters, and I remember, did I watch this solo?
I think I did.
You don't think so? Because the only thing I remember is that I had to drive out of town to find a theater with the right hours for me. But I did go to see it, and I remember thinking it was pretty dang good. Obviously, I was anticipating the home video release so I could rewatch it and be like, oh! Honestly, that's as far as it goes, because especially compared to the Cornetto trilogy, this is one of the... I haven't watched it nearly as many times, so it's not as committed to memory. And I guess Scott Pilgrim would be like the lowest end, and probably even the Dead Right, good lord. But yeah, it was just, I just thinking like, it's a very good movie, and I didn't really think much further than that. I don't recall this story tying up with Random, so Random, you go ahead and...
Can I go last this time?
Go last?
Okay. Please, Kirby fan.
Please.
Oh, but I'm just a little baby. Can I go last?
I'm a baby driver. Yes, I am.
You're fine. You can go last. I mean,
thank you.
I don't know if you want to stall for time, but that's not what's going to happen because I got nothing. I never saw the movie, and then I did. What's more interesting about my history with it was that, a personal story between The Wash, Random Bystander, and me. I was talking to Wash about Baby Driver, and I said that I wasn't going to tell them what I had thought about it. However, what I was going to do was that I was going to give one series of opinions to them and another series of opinions to Random, and they would have to try and decipher which one was correct and which one was wrong, but I never did.
That would have been great. That would have been so fun.
It would have been so
fun. That would have been really fun, but I never went through with it. The only thing that I really told you two was that I would put it above Dead Right. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. That does not necessarily mean that I liked it more than Dead Right. It just means that I respect it more than Dead Right, which not so much I get to elaborate on, but I get to reveal whether or not I actually like it more than Dead Right.
And you've seen this, and here's the thing, because unlike a Random who still has to rewatch Scott Pilgrim, you've already rewatched Baby Driver since then, correct?
Yes, not yesterday, because we never, not yesterday. that was Random's time. But when were we originally through so I'm going to say a little under a week ago was the last time I saw this. And then the week before, I watched it with my parents. And then at the very beginning of that week, if not like the week before, I watched it for the first time. So I've seen it. I've been watching it about once a week. Just,
oh, wow.
So I have, I think, obviously, you know, it's not concrete. Time will tell where it settles. But I have an idea on where I would rank it right now.
Okay. Okay. That's great. And, now random.
Well, yeah, when I told you guys I put it above Dead Right, that was seeing it twice. So we'll also find out whether or not on my third watching, I still put it above Dead Right.
We'll see. You're keeping me in suspense now.
There's no more stalling this time.
You can tell your story now.
Thank you. Actually, I have two stories now because I just thought of one that involves all of us. So I'll save that one for last. But the first story is, I remember at the time this movie came out, I wanted to see it in theaters, but I was always like, I don't like going to see movies by myself if I can help it. And I remember you messaging me about Baby Driver and how you saw it. And either you went with like another couple or you went with a group of friends of who was dating with somebody. And you said it was a good date movie because like literally it was so intense to the point like where one of the guy's girlfriends was like grabbing his arm and such.
I don't
know why I remember that specific. I actually do know why I remember that specific detail.
Well, I'll say real quick, that does sound a lot like something I would say, but I think it was more because at the time I didn't have anyone with me, and I was thinking like this would be good with somebody else.
Yes, and at the time I was talking to someone, and it was like sweet girl. It was very nice. We still talk occasionally. We're friends now. But I was like, you know what? She's never seen an Edgar Wright film. I really want to see it, and I want to see where this goes and if this goes well. And so I literally asked her to a movie on the 4th of July weekend. And I had told her, and she had no idea what she was in for, because neither did I, because I didn't know what this movie was about. I just knew it was Edgar Wright, and we went to dinner. And then we went to see Baby Driver. And I just remember loving it and thinking the music was spectacular, just being totally engrossed from the minute I watched it to the point where at one point I didn't even notice. Not that I didn't notice she was in the room, but at the point where I was just like, okay, Eve, this day could go terribly and I still would love it. That's how much I was so engrossed in the movie. But when it got to the romantic points, where was our moments to be cute? We were holding hands, kissed her on her cheek, all that stuff. We were doing the romantic things. At one point, when things did get intense, she did like grab my arm tightly, and I was like, "Wow, it did work." And I just remember us. We were staying till the credits, or at least up to the credits, to the point where we heard "Was He Slow" as the credit song, and we just both laughed about it. We hung out by a pier and watched the fireworks and had some nice romantic moments. And it's still to this day one of the best dates I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
And it was because we saw Baby Driver. Yes, thank you. Another story was that Christmas or like somewhere. Yeah, that Christmas. And Baby Driver was on DVD and Blu-ray. And I was like, I'm going to get Watch Baby Driver for Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then I told Kirby Fan yes. that. And then, well, little did I know, Watch was like, I'm going to get random Baby Driver for Christmas.
Guess who knew on both sides that they were getting Baby Driver?
According to the Ford, you were present this dude, so I got through this box.
That's what I got you. Isn't there anything that isn't about Baby Driver? And I just remember that and thinking that the moment it happened. And I was just like, we know each other so well. Was it Christmas or was it a birthday present? Because that would have been hilarious.
It was Christmas. It was Christmas.
Okay.
It was Christmas, yeah.
It would have been funnier if it was our birthday because we had the same birthday.
And I'm pretty sure I also paired it with some like VHS tapes.
Yeah, because I collected VHS movies at the time.
Because you also got me Didn't you, like, along with Baby Driver, you also got me Cars 3?
I did get you Cars 3.
That was just, we finished up that story.
Oh.
Wow.
It's all connected.
It was Pixar's perspective all along.
But yeah, those are my funny stories with Baby Driver. I saw it a couple times after that, but, and it on my, like, my laptop, and I saw it again, rewatched it again. Nothing beats those two stories.
No, yeah, those nice. Are two really nice. Excellent stories.
Yeah, those are really nice.
I know they were a bit long-winded, but I think they were worth it.
When you were talking about your date, I was suddenly thinking, like, you know what? Probably the reason I said to you about it being a good date movie was because I had to sit with you as a third wheel during lava.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Lava.
On the brink of extinction.
Oh, right. You know what's not on the brink of extinction? Baby Driver.
Yes, all right. So, random, you kept asking, can I do the plot synopsis?
All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Can you please make it short?
Yes.
Instead of the space?
Baby is a driver for a mob boss, and he basically wants to get out of it because he met this girl named Deborah. Kevin Spacey continues to trap him to this life of crime, and he gets wind up in this huge, like, money scandal. Things go terribly wrong, and it's up to Baby Driver just to get out of this mess and wind up, hopefully, living a life that he wants, living, driving across the country with Deborah.
You finally did it.
Didn't take that long. I stuttered a little bit, but, like, that's basically, it's kind of like a fairy tale almost. It's very fairy tale-ish.
Yeah, you actually, because when you were explaining it, like, without mentioning the music, like, you could talk about this movie without the music. It's just that the music is so fundamental to the way that the story is told.
Literally from the beginning, the music is its own character.
Not like from the beginning, like the opening shot of this film is a shot of a bank, trucks away, and you see you're inside a getaway car, and all you see is a hand with the pulling up an iPhone and starting to play some Bell Bottoms.
Yep.
Bell Bottoms. Bell Bottoms.
Bell Bottoms, please don't copyright this. Bell Bottoms!
And that's before you ever see a human face. It's only when the music starts that you actually see the cast that's about to execute this bank robbery.
Yes.
And and that's the thing. You don't even see the bank robbery. You just see Baby inside the car just rocking his shit. Because that opening shot was what Edgar's had in his mind for 2 decades by this point. This was before Spaced that he had this idea. Like, forever.
And it really shows his love for music. Especially. Like,
we hint at it quite a lot throughout this this podcast, but this shows right here that he's massively into music. He loved all sorts, like there's all sorts of different genres and artists on here. There were a lot of genres that it turns out there were a good amount of genres that he had to cut out because they couldn't get the clearance for it.
Kirby fan, I feel like we're talking a lot and we're not letting you speak.
I mean, I agree. I hate to break it to you, but music isn't a person. It can't be a character.
You know what I mean.
That music is air vibrations. It cannot have character. It cannot have personality.
No, it is remarkable how much is told through the music. It's
absolutely.
You look at other scene. You look at other Edgar Wright stuff that the music is in, and it's not so much telling a story as much as it is being there for a scene. Whereas the music here, even some of the background music in a way, you know, non-vocals, instrumentals, whatever, kind of, you know, fit the theme of the music tells the story. And it's all told through a character that has to have music playing at all times, which I think is super, super interesting. That was a good move. If it was just a character that liked music, it would be whatever. Anybody can do that. But because it's a character that literally needs music to drown out the noise that kind of drives him crazy in a way.
Yeah.
And he loves music. He does it as a, he mixes as a hobby, but he needs the music to drown out noise. That's super unique.
Yeah. And I also like that he had a foster parent that was deaf, and it's played by an actual deaf actor too. And they did a really good job representing that, and just showing like how the foster parent is just trying to like guide him out of this life of crime. There's a great scene with the I can't remember which it might have been the first song that he was playing, the baby. Oh baby, where you see like the deaf man actually placing his hand on the speaker to listen to the groove, and it was that's a really cool idea. And
end of the movie it's classic Edgar Wright. End of the movie, that
classic
scene
Edgar
comes
Wright.
Back.
It comes back,
and I also think that like a key aspect of Baby Driver is not only that he's just listening to a ton of music, but he also just absorbs a ton to the point where he like flips through channels, and if any sort of line comes up, they grow up so freaking fast. Nothing is more important than our friendship.
He literally like parents.
Yep.
Let's Billy Crystal, best character in Baby Driver.
You see, Edgar Wright is a Pixar fan.
probably. It's very clear like how he's just flipping through the channels, and just like all those different lines come into play later, because that's mostly what he's absorbing anyway. He's just listening constantly, and like listening to conversations, and then recording them, and then making remixes out of them. Which it's so like I
was he slow?
Was he slow? that remix by Kid Koala, who anyone listening definitely go check out Kid Koala, like the greatest turntablist out there. And all of that you see in the film is the Kid Koala's actual like DJ equipment, like that little card thing and everything. It was really cool. And I especially like that actually pays off too. But what I was gonna say is that I follow his Edgar Wright's blog back when he was still blogging. And he shares a lot of like YouTube remixes of his own movies. So when somebody missed like a Shaun of the Dead remix, he posts it right on the blog, and it's very clear that he's like hugely inspired by all that. It's like, I gotta put that in my movie.
It's gotta be my movie.
And that's the credence of that's the credo of Edgar Wright, is it's cool, so it's going in there.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who it took him until Spaced, if not Shaun of the Dead, to make a second draft.
it took him 2 decades.
This one was like, I don't even know how many drafts, because here's to get you an idea of like how long this was in the process. Like when he was first coming up with this, iPods hadn't come out yet.
Oh wow!
So it was only when the iPod came out, when there was like suddenly MP3 players all over the place, then like things started to click. And it was like, oh, okay, so he's gonna have iPods. He's gonna have all sorts of different iPods for all sorts of different scenarios. And it's all like already developing in his head, and it works. It really
does work. Like, if he had a Walkman, I don't think it would have worked as well.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I had a Walkman too, RIP.
RIP Walkman. So, Kirby Fenn, when we told you that Baby Driver was the scene with Shaun of the Dead, Don't Stop Me Now, then that was the whole movie of Baby Driver. Do you agree?
Well, two things. One, at the end of the movie, spoilers, but at the end of the movie, when Buddy is chasing down Baby and Deborah, you could absolutely Queen. Put in the, why the hell is Queen still on?
We have a situation! I know!
Oh my god. Yes.
But also, yes and no. To quote Sonic 06, the answer is yes and no.
Yeah, because it's not entirely that. I mean, there are moments where...
No,
I know
so Shaun of the Dead, the music was entirely... I have listened to Simon Pegg break the scene down. Shaun of the Dead, it is not about enhancing the story or even going in tandem with the story. The fun of that scene is that it's a bunch of just exhausted, tired, and angry people living in a zombie apocalypse, beating an old man to one of the happiest songs you're ever going to hear. That is the glory of that scene.
It really is.
Baby Driver is about telling a story.
Yes.
So even though I agree that they're both masterful, I think they're very different.
I would say that in this case, a lot of Baby Driver, I this could have been in an interview at some point, but I feel like a lot of a Baby Driver, especially like sequences with like gunfights that are synchronized with the music,
I
feel like
so good.
I feel like a lot of that is like partly inside Baby's head, just because he's like listening to the music. And
without a doubt.
Like, I don't know about you, but like whenever I listen to music and I'm on the go, like I'm on a train or something, anything vaguely feels like it's synchronized with the music.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the fact that they're able to do that so consistently with so many things in this film,
very impressive,
and make everything in rhythm, and I mean everything. Everything they can.
They had to like flip the production cycle of this to the point of bringing an editor on the set so that they could shoot everything, and then the guy like quickly like tried to cut it all together, and then he gives a thumbs up. Okay, we're good. Like they had to make damn sure that this that everything was synchronized and everything felt right. That wasn't taken too long with it, and you know, you can tell.
Absolutely. Jumping.
Oh my god! There's so many, so satisfying just to hear the guns and rhythm. The not even the car chase opening. Oh my god, even after that, when he's just going to get coffee, and like, you hear like the background rhythms. Literally the text of the song on the street signs, like at points. And like, you hear like people playing music in the background that somewhat fits with the music that's in the foreground. And and the sound of the sirens in the police sirens of the beat of the music. It's just so good! Ah!
There's a bonus feature in the Blu-ray where you can actually see the test footage that they were doing, was trying to like synchronize everything and getting all like the dogs barking or the woman screaming. It's just all sorts of fun details just thrown all over the place. Such a ball to watch. What I especially love about that scene before we leave it is like he's like so synchronized and just like sliding all over the place, and he gets over to the cafe and it's like, yeah, can I have a
can I have
a fucking coffee? Thanks.
Well, no, he literally goes, at the time of the music.
He's like,
literally in the time that the song goes, yeah. It's literally done on purpose. And also, you see Deborah in that scene.
Yes, you do. The early introduction.
Didn't notice that the first time around, but I noticed it after my second time watching. Because I didn't know who Deborah was when I first saw it.
The camera's on her for like 10 minutes.
I didn't know. I didn't pay attention.
You were on a date. Sorry,
I was. There was only one girl I was looking at right at that point.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Anyway. Oh my goodness! This is awful.
You killed me.
Good.
Oh, this is not making it in the final edit.
That was what Jamie Foxx's character said.
You killed me. Good. Speaking of, there are other characters. You know, we really didn't talked about Baby that much. We just talked about his relationship with music more than anything.
I mean, like we said, like, music is a major character.
And so it kind of envelops Baby's character a bit. Like, he's just a good... He's just, like... He just tries to be a decent... Like, he doesn't want to be in this life of crime. He just kind of got caught up in the wrong place. He did the wrong thing at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Spacey got to him. Which, yeah, he's in this movie.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's much like a Bug's Life. It's a good thing he plays an asshole in this one, too. Yes. Moving on.
He's basically a good guy. He cares about Deborah. He cares about his stepfather, who has a name, and I can't remember it right now. It's Carl?
Good question.
The foster father? That's Joseph.
Joseph, Joe. Okay.
Yeah, that's Joseph. That's his name, Joe.
I don't know why I thought Carl.
Carl? That kills people.
But he does care about the people he cares about. He even has a soft spot for I would say Kevin Spacey's character, even at points. I hate to say it, but he does.
Well, I mean, at the end, I remember when that scene happened where it's like he's like pissed at a Baby for screwing up everything, and Baby said, "Just give me the tape." They were about to leave, and then Deborah walks in and what's it? Hold on, I'm gonna look up the guy Doc. Thank you. So I don't have to say the actor's name. Doc. Says, "Oh fuck. Okay, here's the tape."
God.
And I remember when you like after you watched that, you asked me like, "Why did he do that?" And I always felt that was just like. He said in the elevator ride, like, "I was in love once," and you can that like just that was kind of enough to show that there was a softer side to Doc, even though he was like in 99% of cases an absolute monster, especially the way he forced Baby into this whole situation just because he thought that the Baby was a lucky charm. In this case, it's terrible, terrible. But I mean, obviously, without it, we wouldn't have the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
To be honest, like if the rest of the movie was just a former getaway driver becoming a pizza delivery man, I would be hooked.
Same though.
With this editing and music.
Yeah. Like honestly, like the part where he's like doing like just like lightning fast pizza delivery and just be like, "That's so cool."
Woo, pizza! He made me want to deliver pizza for a hot minute.
It's not nearly as glamorous.
No,
but
it's
if
not.
If you're a baby driving anywhere, you can drive to the post office and it's gonna be the coolest thing ever.
Hey, well, that was fast. I know.
drive to the post office. I see where you're going.
Oh yes. Yeah. The when the shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
But before we get into
we still need to talk about a lot more characters.
Yeah. So
believe it or not, it's not just Baby.
Yeah, so let's talk about Deborah, since she's the love interest. What do we think of Deborah?
I like their chemistry together.
Okay, so you like the chemistry together. I think that should
tell you what I think about her.
Yeah, that's the thing. That, like, I think you know what I'm about to ask here. Do you like Deborah?
I mean, on one hand, they're very great together, and she's nice. She has some problems. She's a love interest, and that's it.
Yeah, and I remember watching like a review afterwards where they mentioned that like Deborah like just goes along with the whole, like when Deborah finally like comes along with Baby while Buddy is chasing after them, like at that point it's barely earned because Deborah still just met this guy, and it's just not very clear like why unless there's just like weeks had passed since he like first finished up that job, like it's just kind of implied that he just the Debo it just goes along with it because
it's like, because they're the two movie? Young lovers and she has nothing keeping her within this town.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. She does say that.
They do explain that, like she literally yeah. says that. But he's a crime. He's a crime. He's going to jail.
He's going. Yeah,
he literally shot a guy just now. Literally 5 minutes ago. You even admit that at one point.
Yeah, like Doc even says at one point that like the good news is you like driving because you're never gonna let your foot off the pedal for the next 25 years. And
that comes back too because baby's sent to parole for 25 years.
Yep. Yeah. There's quite a lot of carnage too.
So carnage.
Cars.
Lightning McQueen. Love my buddy, Lightning McQueen.
You know, I wish that you know the car that got totaled. And with the dead body inside it, I wish Mater was
in cars. I was still in cars. Like, do you remember the car with the dead body in it? Like in cars,
and, like the deleted scene.
I mean, some cars did die.
That's true. No,
I'm thinking now is that Deborah and Baby jump in a car to get away from the police. Baby starts driving in reverse. Deborah goes, "What are you doing?" Baby turns to her and goes, "Bet you ain't ever seen the best car driving in reverse."
not need to know where I'm going, just need to know where I've been.
He just literally he just turns into Larry the Cable Guy.
I thought you were gonna say that like the jump inside the car, but it turns out that the car is alive and it says
why is it that when we talk about characters we don't care about or don't really want to talk cars. About because, okay, we always wind up talking about cars.
It's always so, cars.
So, when it was like Cars 3, we didn't talk about Cars. So,
I will say, Lily James did her best with the role.
Yeah, Lily James did her best. Ansel Elgort, we should mention, also did fantastic with the role given. Yeah, Lily James did as best as she could. Her big thing is that like she likes music. According to an interview, is like. She's a bit of a dreamer and impulsive.
You're reading the Wikipedia article too, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It's fine. It's fine.
It feels more like a fairy tale.
Yes, yes. That is a key aspect of it is that it's and we should mention that this is Edgar Wright's first not counting his student film, his first time solo writing.
Yes.
So in other words, like this is his first time solo writing the second draft. So, and I mean, in this case, like obviously this was something that's gonna take like a lot of time for him to cook up in his head. But do you think that like without Simon, that he went for more of a fairy tale, or do you think that was just kind of always gonna be something like this?
Without Simon?
Simon Pegg.
As the co-writer. I don't know. Well, I'm thinking of Scott Pilgrim, and that's not too... I mean, that's more video gamey than fairy tale-y, but it's still not this.
But to be fair, because Scott Pilgrim is an adaptation, so that's a... That's,
yeah, is, but I mean, it's still... When they're talking about, like, a lot of the stuff, even not, you know, the story, just talking about the characters and what they do, you know, that did not feel nearly as fairy. I want to use a different term. Let's go with the female characters mattered.
That seemed to be a problem with Edgar Wright movies a lot.
Yeah, the
only exception being Shaun of the Dead.
Not Scott Pilgrim. Not Scott Pilgrim.
It's not that bad with Hot Fuzz. Like, definitely not nearly as bad as this in The World's End.
I will agree that like this is in terms of the female character this is, mainly because there's more than one female character.
That's what I was gonna say, just on merit of there being more than one.
What more than one, and they both have their moments. Deborah may be just the straight up romance, but could they give her time?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They give her time.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and at least that, because they do not give, they did not give Sam time.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine. It's like Deborah is fine.
Speaking of people
like Random was saying, like, I like the chemistry.
Speaking of people who didn't get much time, John Bernthal's role is like Griff, who was the guy at the beginning, who never came back because he's apparently dead.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you don't see me again, that's because I'm dead.
And you never see him again. So guess what? Never he's dead. Again. He's so, dead.
So one, there's a line later on where Doc says, "You know that I never used the same people the same people twice." And so I think it's also just that they kind of cycle through all these different folks, and it's hard to say whether or not Griff actually died. But, I mean, it's strongly implied, definitely.
I trust his word.
I trust his word in an Edgar Wright film.
And exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but also, like, we had, because immediately after that job, the introduction of Bats. We got Bath, Eddie, and JD doing the Michael Myers robbery.
This is Mike Myers.
This is Mike Myers. No, the guy Halloween from Halloween.
This is the Halloween mask.
No, the killer from the movie. Oh, you mean Jason?
No. My favorite thing about that is just Baby Driver, Baby Starting Over. You're like, oh, I gotta start over the music.
Oh yeah, that's right.
All right, go. It just starts. Just go with it, even though they question it.
And then, there's JD who, JD and Eddie. You know, they barely showed up. The really interesting thing is that, like, Eddie is played by Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of the many musical cameos in this film. And also, like, JD has a tattoo that says hat. Because it said hate, but they removed the E for job interviews. He said, how's that working out for you? Who doesn't like hats? That's it.
That's it. It's
like a
it's
tiny
such
little
a
joke.
Silly line of dialogue, but it works. I have a child. I got one too. Get out of the
Yeah, that's right. So let's talk about Bat, played by Jamie Foxx, who will,
I love how he's literally a red herring. Like, you think he's going to be the villain. And then he just gets, like, stabbed by a pipe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very satisfying death.
It is satisfying,
like,
because you
were...
hate him throughout the whole... He's one of those characters you love to hate.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. And you can tell that Jamie Foxx was, like, drinking it up. Just drinking up that
loving every second
energy.
Of it.
Tequila.
That's a character I really like.
And not only that, he was one of the reasons everything was so tense on screen. Every moment he was on scene, I got nervous. Every single moment, I was like, "Oh God, no, no! Please don't kill anybody." No,
I really liked that when he was on screen, you never knew if it was going to be tense or funny.
Yes, he was kind of like Kefka a bit with that.
That kind of character,
that level of chaos. He literally shoots the people that, like, Doc's cops because he thinks they're like spy pigs that are going to turn him in, and just fucks everything up just because that's what his gut tells him to do.
When he talks about, like, hex songs, you can tell, like, with that story that there's just like no matter what, there's always going to be, like, animosity at the core of Baby. Just not standing for anything that the Baby stands for, because, you know, he just knows that Baby is not going to try to like kill people or just, like, be negligent with innocent bystanders and such, that really tense stuff when Bass was about to shoot the driver, and a Baby does a thing where he turns the car while also knocking the gun out of sight, so he can't shoot. And at the end of that escapade, like, Bass was confronting him. Did you make me lose that shot? And it's just quiet. It is, like I said, extremely tense. And he and Bass calls him out on his lie. And then later on, of course, JD just dies off screen, although we see his damn corpse. So yeah, there's
well, no more importantly, more importantly about that scene with Bats was when he asks Baby if he made him miss the shot, says no, calls him out on his lie, holds a gun to his head, gives him a speech, and then says, "Now go get the damn coffee."
Yeah, and then you hear the Harlem Shuffle again, but it's not the same energy.
No,
like he's really like he's listening to that same happy music, but like he's not feeling it this time.
But he's not the most insane one in this film.
No, like you said,
you make him think he is. You think he is, but then again, pipe. I moved. And then we see the true horror later.
Monsters Inc.
We see John Hamm. Playing Buddy,
and I love how the direction this character goes.
Yeah,
like
it's a strange direction. Considering
love it though, like I love it because this is a. It's not. I wouldn't even call it a twist villain. It's like
he can't be a twist villain because you know he's a villain. It's twist. Oh, this guy's actually not that nice.
Yeah, it's more of just like a well-developed villain.
He started out so nice. I remember on my first viewing at one point when he was listening to Queen with Baby, I remember thinking to myself,
God, yes.
What kind of bad guy is this? Like, are you kidding me? Yeah, and then by the end of the movie, I was just like, dang, I walked right into Edgar Wright's hands.
It did. And they referenced that shit in the beginning. Like, literally, there's one point where Baby is watching TV and he talks and there's like a bullfighting channel and it's like the bullfighter must keep their distance but also confront the bull when they see red and I'm just like oh god they foreshadowed
yes that TV montage taken right out of Shaun of the Dead
literally there's so much TV foreshadowing and TV references. They even referenced an old like music video that Edgar Wright did too.
That's right. Since I said he's been developing this forever. At one point, he made a make a music video for Mint Royale a music video for Blue Song. It's literally the title is called Blue Song, and it's just it's exactly the opening. It's a getaway driver dancing inside his car. That's the whole thing. But it also has Nick Frost showing up as one of the robbers. I watched it recently. It's a very, very cute music video.
I love it. I remember showing that to I don't know. I think I showed it to a streamer once when song requests were a thing still. And they were like, oh, this is a good song.
I remember like when the movie was first coming out and like this was a very successful movie, we should point out. Like very, very successful. It was a big surprise for the studios especially. But I remember when this first came out, there was this wrong idea that Edgar Wright adapted the music video into the movie, not the other way around. I just remember hearing that and to be like, no, you asshole.
Music video came first. Back to Buddy. I just love the character progression. Because, yeah, you see him in the beginning, like in the whole chasing montage scene. And you see him first with like him and Darling. And they're like when Griff, I believe is his name, the character who's dead.
Who's dead.
He is like messing with Baby and they're like, oh, just leave him alone. He's a good kid. He's fine. And they're just doing their own thing. You don't see them again until much later. Mm-hmm. And when you do see that, you see John Hamm bond. You see Buddy bond with a Baby with over Queen, which is really
nice. Why the hell is Queen still on?
Which is really nice, especially with Bats really being the...
The line I really wanted to point out was Beth saying, like, do you have a violin? I thought I had a violin. And Buddy just goes, shut up.
Yes.
This is what everyone was saying.
Honestly, everyone. It was like you love to hate bats, and so do the characters.
Absolutely, completely.
And then there's one point. There's a couple times where you see the horror of Buddy, though. Like the one point where Darling kind of antagonizes him, saying that bats looked at her funny.
Yeah.
And you see like them plotting to kill bats, which honestly kind of what we all want a bit deep down. But you see a glimpse of the horror. And then there's the diner scene, which itself is just so tense. Oh, God. Which for so many reasons. But one of those reasons is that Bats calls Darling and Buddy out for who they are in real life. And Darling has this monologue about how Buddy is like a bull. And like when he sees red, you see nothing but black. And then... Bats makes fun of them by applauding.
It's just an Oscar moment right here. Tragically, this movie was nominated for 3 Oscars and won none of them.
And then Buddy's character grows because you see like him question Baby a lot about a lot of things, including when he's going somewhere at 2 in the morning. And he's not even like that mad at me. He's like,
you fucking kidding me? I got enough on my plate worried about bats. I got to worry about you too now? You know what? Do me a favor. If you're just in this for the buzz, if driving is just some kind of escape for you, then go.
And he was ready to just let him go. And then Bats came in and fucked everything up.
Well, no, what fucked them up with that Baby just left the tape recorder on the bed. I saw it in that shot. Like the tape recorder was on the bed, and he just walked away.
Why?
It's like, no, you idiot. don't make them play the red line tape. I had to mention
that whole tape reveal scene was great.
Yeah,
that's one of the last like big laughs of the movie before classic Edgar Wright. It takes a turn from being kind of funny to just really goddamn tense.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. It
oh
is
god.
So
this movie. The whole like basically the half of the second half. Half of the second. Act and
the final quarter
is just tense after tense feeling until Buddy dies.
Yes.
Which, by the way, at one point the post office job fails because when Buddy tries to drive, he kills bats with a pipe, and because he moved. And then there's this great chase scene,
like Buddy moment.
Basically, there's this great chase scene, and at one point they meet up again. And Darling shoots the cops, and the cops shoot her, and then you just see Buddy lose it. And you know a beast is unleashed, and he is now the antagonist of the film.
Because you mentioned that that chase scene, I now have to mention that the music, I believe it's called Focus by the band Hocus Pocus, or maybe the other way around. But the point is, that's the fence jumping music from Hot Fuzz. If you remember that little sting when Nick Frost was about to run over to the fence, bam, 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 you hear that little guitar bit. And I heard that. I was like, oh my God, Nick Frost is here. He's going to fall into the fence.
I was waiting for Baby to have that moment.
I'm gonna watch Hot Fuzz again soon.
Probably.
We all.
It's just so good. And then you see, and then every moment with Buddy is now intense. Now, every single moment when they're at the diner and you see him play like, which by the way, the coffee timing of the coffee thing was great. It was just great and still intense.
And especially like the last half, like all the music is. There's some like happy songs, but it's like if you're like listening to the lyrics, it's like really intense. The coffee scene is like something wrong with my baby, and there's a trying to remember what was the like when they were driving over to the diner, the, like I think like Darling in the back with thinking like you can't run away, baby. I can't remember it, but it was like it was a happy song, but like the lyrics of it combined with that with the context, it made it really dark. That they're just like laughing at him that he can't escape this horrible life of crime that he's in.
Oh my god, yeah. It's so good. And the fact that this whole ending scene, like even when they find Doc and get the tape back and get some money back, you see Buddy playing Baby's killer track. That's just to right. Try and get him.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell is Queen still on?
because Edgar Wright loves Queen.
No, Queen's still on because Buddy's still on. He won't die.
Yes. Such a good scene, by the way. It makes it so good.
It's so good. It gets so intense, especially like the conclusion of that. Like right before Buddy finally dies, he doesn't shoot Baby. He shoots next to Baby and probably permanently damaged both of his ears.
Yes.
I'm gonna kill the one thing you love. And in this case, it's music. So it is, and it's so tense. God damn. Of course, Buddy does eventually die in an explosion, no less.
Of course. We're not surprised. Is
Danny
right?
From Hot Fuzz
here.
Would be proud.
And then they drive away, and there's an aspect of Baby that we haven't mentioned, which is his sad backstory that he lost both of his parents in a car crash, and the one tape he decided to keep was his mother singing "Easy" by the Commodores, and it wraps the whole thing up.
It really does. Especially when you hear like fuzzy moment, it like fuzzy because of Baby's hearing,
and then
he just places his hand on a speaker, and you hear it clearly, calling back to that moment with Joe. It's just and then another great move. He doesn't get away with it. He actually gets punished for his actions.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been like a like bittersweet ending if it was just them like driving for the next 25 years. So,
post credit sequence, 25 years have passed. Baby goes, "All right, I think we lost them." Movie ends.
At 25
and
years,
and they get out, and all of a sudden you see a Simon Pegg and Nick Frost come out and be like, arrest them.
Nicholas Angel and Danny. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's Danny. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. I'm like, what the hell?
I would love if they made a cameo in this, but they did not.
I thought you were gonna go that like Simon and Nick from Shaun of the Dead, and like Simon gonna bring out the DJ and just bring out some electro.
All right, I think we lost them. Gary King shows up. All right, I'm turning myself in.
Funk, yeah.
Trying to talk to Gary King is pointless.
We just have all of Edgar Wright's movies in one place.
So I do have a question. How did you interpret the final shot of Baby?
Oh yeah.
How did you interpret that?
When I first interpreted it, I interpreted it as like, this is what he's dreaming of when he gets out, and then it cuts to like, I thought it cut out to a full colored version of that. It's like, oh, he did get out at one point, but it doesn't transition to a full color out. So I don't know if it's a montage or not.
There are colors, but it starts as black and white. That's why I interpreted the ending as him kind of dreaming it because it starts black and white, and then it just gets colors because it's nice and he wants it to be nice. But it starts black and white.
I interpret it starting as black and white, and then his dream becoming a reality of him eventually getting out.
So to give credence to Random's thought of this, there is a line in the lawsuit where the judge gives I believe he said 25 years with a chance of parole at 5. So that implies to me that this is at the this is either at the 5-year mark or earlier due to good behavior. And it's very clear that, like, Baby would have very good behavior in prison.
And also, I love how everyone he helps out, like, mm-hmm. comes back to help him in the end.
It's very simple. It's a very simple message, but just kind of, like, the kindness pays forward. It may not pay forward now. It definitely didn't pay forward for him at the time. But, like, as it was going on, it's like all those people, like, they saw something in him, and they saw that there's a genuine kindness to him. There's a genuine thought for innocent lives. In this case, like it's he actually, like, he doesn't want any of this. He's just it was all he had. He was just stuck with it.
I remember the first time I watched the movie. I remember thinking, I thought that him getting out 5 years or earlier was, like, kind of cheesy and hopey and hokey. But I was like, well, you know, Baby, you know, he's a good kid and he didn't kill anyone. So yeah, it was just a matter of circumstance that let him out early. That's fine. And I remember rewatching the movie with my parents, being like, you know, all right, here's all the signs that he's a good kid. He's not killing anybody. And then he killed bats. And that's when I was like, he cannot get out early. If that is what it meant to be, this is a bad ending. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't mind bats going.
I mean, I don't mind either, but the simple fact of the matter is Baby killed somebody. The whole thing that he was trying to have them not doing in the movie, he did right there and then. Now, I'm not saying that makes Baby a bad guy. I'm just saying that if he gets out early because he's a good kid and he didn't mean it, that's kind of...
To be fair, he just drove the car. He didn't mean to, like,
kill him. Oh my God, don't start with this.
I moved.
Hey, the knife. I stabbed them, but I just moved my hand.
Ran into
the
my
knife is
ran
the
into
thing
my
that
knife
killed them,
times.
Not me.
Now I'm thinking about Cell Block Tango.
You're talking about Bass then and there. Did you forget about Buddy? He shot him, kneecapped him.
I mean, like, valid, but also he didn't. This is one of those instances where it's like, this is actually when Random's argument would come in handy, because he didn't actually shoot Buddy. He shot at Buddy and he either hit his knee or he missed him. I don't remember. But that made him stumble backwards and fall. It wasn't actually specifically Baby that had done in Buddy. No. So, like, you can put up that argument for Buddy at least, but it was literally... What did you do? I drove. Like, he killed Bats.
To be fair, Bats kind of deserved it.
Oh my God, shut up!
I'm sorry! If there's anyone who I wanted Baby to kill, it's Bats. I love...
Did you bring a violin? I thought I had a violin. Anyway,
what I was laughing at before
mad.
Was...
We I'm were, so I'm mad. So,
why?
I'm so mad.
I don't think it's
still talking
why?
About just still
is
talking
this the
about,
movie
like,
that ruins our friendship?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this was after all these episodes.
After the Cars episode when I ranked it above Toy Story, this is the movie that ends.
This is the movie that breaks our friendship.
It's a movie about cars.
What I was laughing at before, I thought about the funny moment, is there some moments that actually make you laugh in this movie too?
Like, there's especially on my second and third watching. It was definitely a much funnier movie than I remember it being on my first.
Yes,
it's very funny like, all right, this movie's not gonna be funny anymore. Yeah, it's serious time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments is the moment where Baby takes a woman's car.
Yep,
and she like gets out and she's like, "Oh God, my purse!" And she comes back to see him flipping through the radio aggressively, trying to find a song. And then he finds a good song, drives, throws the purse out of her car, and he's like, "I'm sorry, ma'am." And then he drives off, and she just goes, "What the fuck?"
it's a payoff to
what? That was the best female character in the movie.
And she comes back later, too.
Yes.
Is there anything else we didn't talk? I mean, we didn't talk about Doc, other than he's just the typical mob boss who has a somewhat heart of gold.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Someone is his father.
Here's someone we forgot. I mentioned her once.
Thought we were going to go. We were so close. Yeah, we were so close to going the whole thing. I was waiting for us to get to the end and talk about how we didn't talk about her. Darn.
Darling. Yeah, that's her name, I think.
Yeah, her, that's her nickname.
Her name is Monica. I remember that.
Her real name is Monica. Is it Monica? Wait, I thought we weren't supposed to be saying name. Although I did like the line where it's like they were listening to Baby's remix, which is slow, and Darling was the only one who was actually like into this, and yeah. She said this shit is bananas, bananas. This is cute.
Yeah. Again, she has her moments, but she's less of a character and more of a companion to Buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Like she's someone who has to die eventually so that Buddy goes insane, because that's his drive is Darlin, the relationship with Darlin.
And that's about it, really. She gets angry.
Yep.
She controls, but not controls, but like keeps him.
I mean, they scheme together. The lovey dovey. Yeah. That's
about it. There's really not much to
like,
say.
Much like Deborah, it's more like her relationship to Buddy than
they're like, they're just like Bonnie and Clyde a bit.
Yeah. You are also reading the Wikipedia article.
I am trying to find something to say about her. I don't know.
Did you know that she joined the production in December 2015? actor was fine. You know?
Yeah, she did a good job. Like whenever
everyone here did a fine performance with what they were given, and some were given a lot less than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not much to say about Darlin other than she was a teammate to Buddy and they were more together.
Yeah.
It's a perfect contrast to Deborah. Or not contrast, foil. She was the perfect foil to Deborah because they both didn't matter. It's just one was good and one was bad.
I will take Deborah over Darlin. Honestly.
Me too. I think Deborah had a little more.
Well, Deborah had a lot less songs than Darling. There's a lot more Darling songs than Deborah.
Oh, true. That's true.
also, literally, there's one point where her and Buddy in the beginning are talking about going to somewhere, and it's the finest wine and dining in town. And literally, Baby asks out Deborah. He tells her about this place, and she's like, "Oh, I hear it's great." And yeah, and then Baby says, "Yeah, it's the finest wine and dine, and all the wines and dines in town." And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you parroting again?
Yep. that's a lot of what he does. It's just parroting.
Baby's lying when Bats tries to tell him to go to that diner, and Baby says, "No, it's terrible." And Bats says, "Well, now I gotta try it out."
Yeah, that's especially tense, especially with the way. Like, good lord.
You know, when I say it like that, maybe it was okay that Baby murdered Bats and didn't go on parole for it. Maybe.
I mean, you don't know. It's up to interpretation. For all we know, it could have been a while.
It could have. What I was saying was that I wouldn't have liked it if it wasn't. And you were like, well, it was Bats, so it's okay, right?
I mean, I know. Bats was an asshole.
God. So, like, we're not talking about this anymore. I know I'm the one that keeps bringing it up, but if I keep bringing it up, I'm just gonna get angrier.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you're angry.
Oh my god!
I mean, I get your point. He's
but he was your bully.
Poor Wash is crying.
This is so stupid.
Speaking of crying, you know what? I'm gonna have to start crying too. You know why?
Because
the timer ran out.
Oh wow, that went by so fast.
It really did.
I guess I'll go first. For this one. I had a blast with this. Of course, you know, we talked so much about the music before we even got to characters. Like it is a fun ride. It is extremely tense. It answers the question, what if an action film was a jukebox musical? And the answer is a hell of a time. Especially when compared to like the Cornetto trilogy, it still has all the those sorts of like payoff callbacks and payoffs. But in terms of characters, it is more fairy tale like that. There's just like the characters playing different archetypes in this scenario, and that's all well and fine. I still had a really good time with this. Yeah, that's my two cents with that. Random?
I really liked this film a lot. I really, really did. I like the fairy tale elements. I like the main character. I like Buddy. I like Bats, even though I'm scared of him. And one of the things that make this movie for me so much is the music. And you know what? I like the story too. It's very fairy tale-ish, but it still works. And the music makes it better. I don't think there's a movie quite like this where it that uses its music as much as it does that isn't a musical. And
I would call it like a jukebox musical.
Yeah,
like I was saying.
It is, but it also isn't.
Who the hell put this on? It's on random.
I just really love it. I loved it back then. It was a thrill seeing it in theaters, and I still love it now.
All right. Kobe fan.
I enjoyed this movie thoroughly. There were, of course, aspects of it that I didn't like. I mean, the female characters, aside from that old lady, that is kind of...
I like the post office worker at least.
Oh yeah, I forgot about her.
The Dolly Parton.
Oh, we got to add another 15 minutes to the timer. I forgot to talk about her.
Okay. Okay. Go on.
No. All good. And you know, some occasionally, maybe a pacing problem here and there, some other things, but we talked about them already. Pale in comparison to the things that I liked about it. Really good with its music. Really good with its main character and his relationship and kind of general foil to Buddy. A lot to say about Baby and Buddy. You think it's gonna be like, oh, it'll be about Baby and Doc, or and then Buddy and Monica, or whatever, her darling, whatever. Or Baby and Baby and Deborah. It's like the conflict winds up being with, ironically, the two characters that seem to be the most chummy with each other at one point, which were Baby and Buddy. And it's very good. Very well written, a lot of callbacks, very, very Cornetto. I liked it. I thoroughly liked it. But did I like it more than Dead Right?
You said you did.
You already said that.
Yeah, no, so... I said that after my second watching, not my third. I could have changed my mind.
That's true. Well, before we get to all of that, before we get to the rankings, I do want to note that I was looking it up, it turns out that this movie, because it was massively successful, and the studios were quite surprised with it, with how successful it was, it really hit home with a lot of different audiences, of course, you know, action, romance, thriller, comedy, musical, like all sorts. They're going with a sequel. They want to make a sequel to Baby Driver.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I didn't know about that, let me tell you. I do know how I feel about that.
Well, we'll see it. It's all right. We'll see it in 2040.
That's true. That's true. Well, that's assuming that it's ever going to get
that. What would
that.
They apparently, even do? Like, what? Everybody is dead.
Yeah, everybody is dead.
Wait a minute, like, this is the sequel about Baby being a pizza delivery driver.
You know what, actually, I would watch that.
I take back what I said.
The only thing I could see that they would be doing is either the pizza delivery thing, which would be a great comedy, or they tell Doc's story and make it a prequel.
No.
Or they tell about Baby Driver's, like, but how he got to where he was. Do I think that would be good? No. But... You know, Edgar has surprised us.
So I will first tell you this, that apparently Edgar did send a, they made a first draft, I think last year, and he already sent it over to Ansel Elgort, so apparently they're going to just try to get the same actor back in as a main role. And also, just with the Doc thing, I'm just going to say this straight up, like, the actor who played Doc was found to be a creep the
I
same
that.
Year that this movie came out.
Oh, so I know.
So I don't think they want to have anything.
If anything,
to
they
do
would
with
recast
that.
Him if they wanted.
I think they would just keep him dead. It's better off to just keep him dead.
That's probably it. I just say that because they left some stones unturned with. There's a lot of things you don't know about him, but at the same time, yes, they don't want to use that actor again.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that actor again.
At the end of the movie, he's dead. Like, dead. He's run over
He's
twice.
Dead.
He's dead.
He's dead. Everybody's dead, except for Baby and Deborah.
So Edgar, I know you're listening to this. Please go with the pizza delivery idea instead.
We all want to see it.
We all want to see the pizza delivery idea.
or him doing NASCAR, because they do hint at that. It's Cars 4.
Oh, wait. I know how Baby Driver 2, I know how Baby Driver 2 is going to end. Baby is going to be racing in it, and then he's going to go to the pit stop, and he's going to tell Deborah to go in the car because his time is up. But then, as it turns out, their cars had the same number. So
doesn't matter who's racing as long as it's the same number.
Oh god, this is gonna be a long episode. But
the only other thing I want to say is that there's a line in an interview where he said I would like to get back on the saddle very shortly because slightly beyond my control. But there was 4 years between The World's End and Baby Driver. I don't want it to be that long. I would love to have a film out in the next 2 years.
Womp, and here we are, Soho, 2021, 4 years.
Womp womp.
Nothing we can do about it. It's literally, it's everything is against that. Literally, God was like, "No, you must wait 4 years."
poor Edgar. Well, it'll come soon enough, and we'll talk about it when that.
But
when,
until then, ranking
until then,
time.
Ranking time.
Open up the drinks.
The drinks?
Ranks.
The ranks.
Whatever. Right. I'm not good at parody songs all the time.
Most of the time.
So, our average ranking thus far, from the bottom up, has been Dead Right, The World's End, Scott Pilgrim, Shaun the Dead, and Hot Fuzz. All three of us have Dead Right at the bottom. I'll start with Kirby Fan.
Don't you want
Kirby
to save fan. Me for the suspense?
Random, you have Dead Right. Is Baby Driver better than Dead Right?
Yes.
Okay. So I agree, definitely better than Dead Right in that it is an actual film. And it had a second draft. Kobe Fan, is Baby Driver better than Dead Right?
Oh, look, I'm a big fan of Baby Driver. I really like what it did with its music and stuff, but I gotta be the one to say it. Yes, I like Baby Driver more than I like Dead Right.
God damn it.
I was gonna be so mad. If you...
Okay. Moving up, you two have The World's End, and I have Scott Pilgrim. It's quite a jump in quality, I should realize.
Yeah.
I note. We're talking about, like, Dead Right, and then all of a sudden, gone up to... So, I'll start with Kirby Fan on this one.
Less suspense.
Kirby Fan, is Baby Driver better than The World's End?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't close for you?
You know the answer and you know the why. Not that close, because it's two words. Can you guess?
King Gary.
King Gary, yes.
Okay.
I really like The World's End, but it's... God, I can't stand Gary King. I've been thinking a lot about The World's End and a lot about what Gary's character represents, and it's all super interesting and cool, but I still hate the guy. It's just how it is.
Oh, that's fair, that's fair. Do I think that Baby Driver is better than Scott Pilgrim? Yes, I think so. I definitely think that the baby himself is a nicer character than Scott Pilgrim. And I also think that it's like Scott Pilgrim is like high in style, and Baby is if you mute this movie, I feel like it's actually pretty solid in terms of just straightforward great shots, and it doesn't have like the wowsy zowsy of Scott Pilgrim, and it's the music that heightens all of the relatively muted, relatively, considering we're talking about Edgar Wright here. I think I like Baby Driver more. Random. Is Baby Driver better than The World's End?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm guessing is it the same issue for you?
Yes.
Okay.
And I just... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Moving up from there, now it is swapped over, because I have The World's End, and you two have Scott Pilgrim. I'll start. Ooh, this is going to be a tough one, actually, because...
This is where it gets tough for you to pick?
Yeah, I think this is where it gets tough for me to pick, because I think that The World's End has... It has a stronger story, and has a more complex character. I can't deny that I feel like I had more fun overall with Baby Driver than I did with The World's End. Like, World's End is fascinating. Well, and World's End is also still very funny. It's close for me, but I think I'm gonna actually have to give it to Baby Driver.
Interesting.
Thank you very much. I am interesting. Random. You have Scott Pilgrim. Is Baby Driver better than Scott Pilgrim?
Yes.
Okay, and that was also pretty instantaneous.
Yes.
I feel like I know why.
Do you want to elaborate that on a little bit, or you're good?
Scott.
Scott
and good music.
Oh, and music, of course. Okay, Kirby fan. Is Baby Driver better than Scott Pilgrim?
This was a toughie, I'm not gonna lie. This was not easy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I like Baby Driver more than World's End, because that showed me that Edgar Wright's films just aren't getting worse. But it was a tough choice, because, you know, you can compare the movies in how Baby Driver uses music to tell its story and Scott Pilgrim uses video games to tell its story. And, I mean, Scott Pilgrim has moments where it's just like, oh, look, that's a video game reference. But there are other points where it's like, hot damn, you can really only use video games to tell this story, huh? And I never felt like Baby Driver is something where it's like you could only use music. It just works best when you have it with music. And I mean, being perfectly honest, I think either movie really has a strong story. I think a lot of it is just on the fun of the characters. And I think Scott Pilgrim had more fun characters than Baby Driver, but Baby Driver had more consistent characters. But I mean, if we're just talking about which one that I, you know, had a more fun time with, I mean, I thought Scott Pilgrim's characters were more fun, and I love my video games. So it's a tough call, but I think at the end of the day, I gotta go with Scott Pilgrim on this one. Hot take, but I think I gotta go with I prefer Scott Pilgrim.
Interesting. Okay, I agree that it's very close with those two.
And Scott Pilgrim has a vegan, that too.
Yes.
The vegan police, specifically. The best
chicken, chicken counts as a meat?
Chicken isn't vegan.
Chicken isn't vegan. That I always get that quote wrong. You always correct me, and I'm like, damn, that's so much funnier than what I said.
I didn't even hear what you said. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It's, the quote, the actual quote is funnier. Trust me.
All right. And then there were two.
Moving on up from there. Both of us have Shaun of the Dead. I'll start. No. I don't think that that Baby Driver is better than Shaun of the Dead. It's not really that close. To be honest here, and open about this, Kirby Fan and I recently rewatched Shaun of the
what
Dead.
What an incredible experience that was.
Not only did we rewatch Shaun of the Dead, but we also went ham
on the bonus features. God, it's so good. It's such good bonus features.
It's so funny. It's so smart. It's really surprisingly smart. Yeah, it wowzers. Baby Driver still, of course, very fun. I just think that like Shaun of the Dead has a much more well-rounded script with the combination of comedy, romance, and some action, some zombie action thrown in there. Very fond of Shaun of the Dead. Random. You have Shaun of the Dead. Is Baby Driver better than Shaun of the Dead?
I can't even stall for time because no, I'm the only one left.
And you've seen these movies multiple times, so you can't even I need to watch Scott Pilgrim again, okay?
It's not that I don't know it. I'm just afraid to say it.
Why are you afraid?
Why?
Because I like Baby Driver better.
Okay. That's absolutely valid. Then go ahead and explain.
You like it more because Bats died and Scott Pilgrim. Shaun, no, Baby Driver, don't you?
Did you say he died in Scott Pilgrim?
I almost said Scott Pilgrim. I almost said Scott Pilgrim, then I almost said Shaun of the Dead.
You're looking at a guy who grew up with fairy tale like stuff. Like Disney and Pixar. And again, just something about the action and just the music, especially. I feel like I'll say more. I'll be repeating myself later, so we'll just.
Boy, yeah. I was maybe gonna say that, like, we've sat through Coco, so I think I had a suspicion.
Just ask me the next question, please.
This is actually the one that I don't. Now we're at. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, this is the part that I generally don't know.
So. I'm not even sure if I know.
Here
random,
we go.
Random bystander here.
That's me.
Is Baby Driver better than Hot Fuzz?
So let me say, Hot Fuzz is so tightly written. Mm-hmm. It's such a good film. It's so funny.
I'm thinking about Danny jumping over the fence now.
There's so many funny moments like that.
I just love
the jokes are great. The twist is great. The how they handle everything to a T is great. So much so that I modeled one of my scripts based off it. So much so that I watched the film 1,000 times. But I am a musical guy. The fact that it's just so satisfying to hear how the music is used from the beginning to end, combined with the fact that it's a thrilling adventure that actually has made my heart pound at points and made me nervous. It's one of the action movies that I really, really like. And there's even some funny moments, too. Right now.
This is a comedy, by the way.
Yeah, the comedy is great. It is great. We just didn't. It's not as much as Hot Fuzz, but it's still, when it hits, it works. It's just that's not the main focus. It's very close. It's very, very close, and this might change. But I'm going to say Baby Driver's better.
Ooh. Okay.
I love Hot Fuzz, don't get me wrong, and it's very close. Coco was my favorite for a reason, and it was because of the music. Of course I like Baby Driver.
Well, I'm glad you're honest.
Now we're at the thing where all of our favorites are different now.
Yeah, but we all have the same least favorite.
We have the same least favorite. Although it's the least favorite is not nearly as least favorite as the Pixar or Sonic 1999.
You don't even say anime, you just say Sonic.
Just Sonic.
All the least favorites, Dead Ride is probably the best least favorite.
Oh, by far. Which is a shame, because that's the only one that's not budgeted.
Oh, wait. Well, we did it. We've ranked all six Edgar Wright films that we know of, because I know there are his other student films, but we don't have access to those.
Nope.
But we did it. We also watched the entirety of Spaced. I had a good time. It didn't seem like anyone else.
I mean, it was nice.
That was all right.
And there's a lot more jokes that I got.
Yeah,
it made the movies better.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that like they were important like to add context to the movie. Even like The World's End had that stuff that paid off for Space. Like, I don't remember him being that nice. Okay, and that's it. We've gotten a ranking in. You can like do like a quick cutaway if you want to. I don't know how you're going to do it in the editing, but...
This is literally a setup. I hope you know that.
Sorry, I missed that. My mom came in the room. What did you ask?
My God. Now you have to keep it in the edit.
Yeah, right?
Oh my God. Okay, so we have actual rankings. From the bottom up, we have Dead Right at 3 points. The World's End at 7 points, Scott Pilgrim at 9 points, Baby Driver at 13 points,
there's a tie,
Shaun of the Dead at 15 points,
oh,
Hot Fuzz at 16 points. Yeah,
no tie.
No tie.
No ties. No. Yeah, that's sad that we don't have any wacky ties like we did last time. Oh, those would be so fun. Those were so fun, but it looks like we had a pretty... I mean, I like this ranking. I'm fine with this ranking as is.
Overall, it's pretty similar to what a lot of people think.
Yeah, yeah. It's same about The World's End, I guess. But, you know, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Again, we should clarify that, like, the Gulf between The World's End and Dead Right is ocean size.
It really is.
But yeah, that's it. We've done it. We've done all six films, and we're gonna wrap it up.
Yeah, we're gonna do a finale.
We're gonna do a finale, a Christmas finale. In fact, the episode is gonna come out in Christmas, even though this episode is being recorded right after Halloween.
Yes,
but
we're ahead of the game, folks.
That ahead of the game. So we're going to have a very special episode where we wrap things up. Until then, I've been Wagon Wash. Speedwagon Wash. There we go.
Speedwagon like JoJo?
Sure. Like JoJo. Yeah. Like REA Speedwagon. Yeah. Oh, musical reference. There we go. REA Speedwagon. Oh, Speedwagon.
I am Radio Wave Random Bystander here.
I don't know what we're doing. No, my outro is going to be I am B-A-B-Y baby. That was going to be mine, but like Radio Wave Random is the best goddamn name I've ever heard.
I don't know what's going on.
And what's going on is that we're saying goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.